was at the time that the Padres drafted him.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hour number three. It's Extra 1360. We are available via the iHeartRadio app. I am Darren Smith. We are 23 hours away from first pitch at Petco Park, first pitch of the 2021 season. We are less than one full day away from Padre baseball. Padres Diamondbacks just past 1 o'clock tomorrow. Let us say hello to the beat reporter who fills our inbox with daily newsletters. He is Kevin Acey, our Extra 1360 Padres insider, joining us for a preview of the 2021 season here on iHeartRadio. Kevin, Darren, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, especially today.
Oh, man, how you feeling? I know this is all about players and coaches and fans, but how you feeling here on the eve of the baseball season?
Pretty excited to cover a meaningful season, right? I mean, it's no skin on my back, however they do, but it is just a lot more fun to watch really, really good players, and that's what the Padres have. And to be thinking about, like, the minutia and how it matters, and not having to manufacture excitement or look to the future. I'm super excited.
You've had a couple of days now to think about and process everything that you saw. When you're there, and you're there every day as you were during the Cactus League, from pitchers and catchers to the time they break camp on Monday, you're sort of living it day in, day out. But you've had a couple of days, Kevin. Overall, biggest takeaways from what it was that you saw, from what it was that you experienced, what it was that you reported on, just the whole spring training experience of 2021.
I thought it was good for them that their pitchers buckled down and for the most part got healthy, and even the guys who won't start the season, you think they're going to be there fairly quick. I thought that was huge. You nailed it. Like, you just get involved in the day-to-day. And there were so many times I'm like, holy smokes, this team, they're not playing very good. Be it in the field or certain players weren't hitting or pitchers are getting hurt. And you start to think about, man, how are they going to fill these innings? And I still think that's the biggest issue for the season, by the way. But I thought they really tightened it up at the end. And you could see, look, this is the team that we thought it was, or at least going into the season, it appears to be the team we thought it was.
Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune and our Padres insider joining us on Extra 1360. So what still needs to be decided, Kevin? Is there anything now over the next 20 or so hours that we're still waiting on here with regards to the opening day roster, to a 40-man roster, or what still needs to be figured out between now and the time first pitch rolls around tomorrow?
Nothing that I know of, unless they were to add a reliever, which I think that the urgency of that is gone. They had pitchers step up. Taylor Williams got better. Nabil Chrismat really pitched well all spring. They know that Pierce Johnson and Austin Adams are on the verge of coming back. I really believe that this roster is set.
To that point, you insinuated something a couple of weeks back here on the show, and I know that you experienced it out there on social media when you said there's something crazy that AJ Preller has cooking here that you'd be shocked if he could pull it off. But that set off dominoes out there on social media. I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know you weren't just trolling, that there must have been something. But they are content now. This is their team. They play 24 of the first 25 days of the baseball season. So they go 7 straight out of the chute, off day, 17 straight as well. At what point do you think that they made the decision that, you know, we're good with what we have here. We'll figure it out. We're not going to go out there chasing perfection. What we have is good enough to begin the 2021 season.
Well, I think that thought is on hold. Look, when the price for Bader was too high, then look, we don't just need an arm right now. Or at least at that point, they didn't. Then there was the last couple weeks where there was some real uncertainty about the relievers, and it's like, well, gosh, maybe they just signed somebody, to have arms. But now they're set with that. Now, like, you just don't rest easy when you're covering a team that AJ Preller is the general manager of, and when they believe that they are this close. Now, they're this close, but they're in the division of the Dodgers, and it's kind of like, it's going to be really interesting as the season goes on. How is their pitching doing? And where are they in the standings? Is, you know, like, are they fighting for the division? Are they comfortably in a wild card spot? You know, it's going to be interesting. I don't think the pursuit of perfection is over. I don't think that right now, because that's a nice way to put it, you know, like, hey, we've got a good team. Do we have holes? Do we have questions? Yeah, because pretty much everybody does. If you listen to the experts, the Dodgers don't. They're going to win like 130 games. But I don't know about all that. But yeah, I think they're very content with the team that they have.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that could be a, you know, like there's a flip side of that coin too, where you can chase perfection. And sometimes you want to see a team develop. You want to see a guy grow in the roles, you know, see different players, et cetera, and see what it is that they look like and how they perform as the lights get a little bit brighter, as they perform in front of ballparks and major league ballparks for 162. But you said something really interesting there, Kevin. Most people, I mean, I think this is fair. I don't know that this is a perceived slight, but most places that you look offer up some sort of season preview have the Padres as a wild card team. Do you think mm-hmm. the Padres are satisfied with that? Do you think that the Padres would sign up for that right now? Did they break camp thinking, yeah, that's okay. Like, we're good with being a wild card team, since that seems to be how most people evaluate us.
This might be like sacrilege, but yes, but like, they don't think that way either. They're shooting for the division title. They think that in many places they're as good as the Dodgers, and that anything can happen, right? But they're very aware of how strong the Dodgers are. That's why AJ Preller, his staff, Peter Seidler, that's why they did what they did. It was like, you know, in hindsight, it's like, oh, yeah, they didn't want to just be kind of better. They wanted to compete with the Dodgers, and that's what they did to the best of their ability. Look, they could have stopped without just Joe Musgrove, right? And we would be feeling like, all right, cool, it's a wild card team. But they did it. They got Joe Musgrove. They got Keone Kellar. They got Mark Melancon. Now, those could be really good bullpen pieces. They looked in spring like they will be. So this is a team that wants to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, I you know, and everybody wants to win the division. Listen, the Baltimore Orioles want to win the division.
Do they?
Probably not. But deep down, they probably say that sort of stuff, like, hey, you never know, we got a puncher's chance, right? This is some of the language that we've heard around these parts for a while about that whole puncher's yeah. chance thing. But they deep down knew what they were all about. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't know that they sign up for a wild card spot. I genuinely think that these guys believe that Darvish and Snell and Musgrove, mm-hmm. like, that they can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers here. So whether that's delusional or not, or whether it's premature, I just, it feels to me, and I'm much further away from it, obviously, Kevin. I'm not around it, but it just feels like that's like their own internal standard.
Without a doubt it is. And but the reason that I went with, like, yeah, okay, wild card, sure. Look, they're signing up for winning 95 games. If the Dodgers win 103, then look, what can you do about it? You won 95 games. You were the best team you could be. Now go beat the Mets or the Braves or the whoever, right? Mm-hmm. And go on. That's the thing kind of hanging over this season. It's not a dark cloud. Because, look, they have a chance to win the division. But the fact that you're in the same division as the Dodgers, man, this would feel different if the Padres were in the NL Central right now. You know, look, they are by, I've seen it everywhere. I mean, I don't know, with all these people using the same computer models and Vegas using the same thing, 95, 96 wins for the Padres. That ties them with the Yankees for the second most in baseball. Yet they could have to play a one game playoff.
That's $180 million spent, though. I don't know that you spent $180 just to get into a coin flip game in a wild card. That's why, again, I'm not saying that it would be profound failure and that Jace Tingler would be packing his bags if they end up in the wild card game. I'm just, you know, I don't know that they spent the kind of money and made the kind of moves and have been building towards a season where it's just like, a single elimination game is good enough for us.
No, it'd be a, you know, again, that's the whole thing. It's like, wow, this team could be really good and have to do that. But no, that's not their mindset. Their mindset is they get 19 shots at the Dodgers. They hope to really feast on other teams because they think they're that much better than those other teams. And, you know, they hope, what is it, 9 games in September? They hope it comes down to that between them and the Dodgers.
So this mindset that we're talking about here, right, like this elevated standard, what does that mean for performance from the players? Because for many years, the Padres would be willing to deal with average, below average performance, right? Development is a term that we've used a lot. Mm-hmm. The big D, some around these parts like to refer to it as. But what mm-hmm. does this mean just in terms of how long the leash will be for players who are not performing?
The way that they talk the way that Jace Tingler talks and that I know that he believes, I can't imagine that leash will be very long. As you know, there's always internal stuff, you know, like, man, just having this guy in the lineup is better. And maybe, you know, a certain player has earned a little bit longer leash because of a history or something. Or they see things where, man, he's close, you know, really hitting the ball well or whatever. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here, but I really believe the best players will play. And they have developed now, by putting all these people at many positions, they've got guys who can play virtually every position. I mean, you know, so they can be a little bit mix and match and talk about matchups and all that. I absolutely think that we could see some of that if some people aren't performing.
What happened in Chris Paddock's final start of Cactus League?
Same old thing, really. Two things. I mean, he starts with, the pitches didn't go where he wanted them to. I mean, he made some really good pitches. He gave up some 0-2 hits, tattooed, because either the changeup or the fastball was in the middle of the zone. That's a problem. Like, what's happening there? They say his bullpens are good. Look, I saw him pitch well in a game on the backfield. We've seen him do it, but then he gets in the game, and then especially guys get on base, and suddenly it's 3 runs in an inning. It was 6 in this last one. This one was bad. The Cubs one, look, he lost his mind after Kyle Hendricks swung at an 0-2 fastball. He didn't think, he thought he was like Padres pitchers at that point. He wasn't going to swing, right? And then he did what he does sometimes does. He lost concentration. Okay, fine. The Cubs game, it got away from him. This one was not a good one. This one has the Padres going, okay, I mean, we believe in this kid, but it's about to get real. And, you know, you want to talk about short leash? I mean, that would be one of the guys that would be in the back of your mind.
Right, and that's exactly, those were a series of questions, everybody, just so you know. Like, the first question was the prelude to the second question about Paddock, because, you know, I don't think this is a point that's still lost on this audience and on this fan base, that the postseason last year, everybody else pitched in that second round except for him, and he was the opening day starter. So, you know, to me, there are still some very legitimate, incredible questions about him and his role on this team, if things don't improve and improve quickly, because this is not 3 years ago where you would wait for him. This is a team now that has high standards and a high payroll. So I very much think about him and others. It's not just him, but I very much think about him and how long his leash in particular will be.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. They're going to have somebody step up to put in his place. Would that be Ryan Weathers? Okay, you're going to want to be stretching him out then. And really, you're trying to have him be your guy to go 3-4 innings in, in the bullpen. Then you're putting more pressure on the bullpen. You take Ryan Weathers out. Mackenzie Gore showed he's not ready. There are times you saw Mackenzie Gore pitch this spring, and wow, this kid. Okay, there, I'm seeing it. This is number one pitching prospect. But the guy's command, it's just not there. It's not something that a contending team is going to have as their starter. He's not going to, you know, get through 4 innings. The guy that pitched in spring training, can that, with the talent that he has, can that flip like boom, like a snap of a finger? Sure, absolutely it could. But it's like, at this point, that's why I say, number one thing in my mind this year is, how are they filling innings? I'll say Yu Darvish, fine. There's a guy you're going to count on after a couple starts and maybe right from the beginning, 6 or 7 innings. Blake Snell, maybe at some point, because he's not on the Tampa Bay Rays anymore, he'll be more than a 5 1/3 inning pitcher. That's great. But right now, that's a question. Joe Musgrove threw 40 innings last year, threw 170, I think, the year before, has been a starter for 3 seasons. You know, how long and how effective will he be? Chris Paddock, we talked about the question marks there. Adrian Morahone, your number 5 starter, he has thrown 30 innings, I believe it is. Maybe it's 29 2/3 in the major leagues. He hasn't gone more than 46 pitches in almost 2 years. There are questions about how they're filling innings on this team.
Morahone definitely the number 5. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
You know what? They've been so vague about that, and it's infuriating that it makes me think that maybe he's not. But yes, every indication has been that he is, but no one will just say it right now.
Right. I mean, they could. It's been pointed out by, and it's been pointed out, I'm sure, to you as well, that they do have the ability to go righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, right? Yep. But I don't know that you do that just for the sake of doing it.
You don't do it for the sake of doing it, but hey, you know, look, I haven't really looked at the Giants or, you know, what their opponents are, really. I just haven't. And they certainly have. Also, there is a thought that Adrian Morahone is so valuable. I mean, this guy had a real, I know, don't look at the numbers. guy had a really good spring. And there's a thought that he's super valuable coming out of the bullpen two or three times a week and giving you those innings.
How close are some of the injured players, the players who will start the season on the injured list? Who's closest? How close are they, especially given, Kevin, that the schedule makers here have them, as you know, playing 24 of the first 25 days?
Yeah, that's a big one. If they're not there by the first road trip, so after seven games, Austin Nola and Trent Grisham, then I would be super shocked. I remember I got a text when I was making a big deal out of Marcano making the team just to remind me, look, you know, either he or Mateo aren't going to be there very long because Trent Grisham is right there ready to go. So, you know, it's a bummer that they're starting without two regulars. If they're as good as they think they are, then that's going to happen at some point in the season and they're going to be able to overcome it.
Predict the opening day lineup for us.
I don't have any problem with Tatis leading off, but I certainly don't have a problem with Pham leading off. So Pham in center field leading off, Tatis, Machado, Hosmer, Myers, that was righty. Well, you can put Profar or Cronenworth at six, and Humo Camposano. It's his first, or not Camposano, sorry, Caratini on opening day.
By the way, Camposano is hitting. I mean,
oh my goodness! Yeah.
What if he keeps hitting? Well, I mean, what if Nola's going to take a little while? And I'm not replacing him. He was a terrific piece added at the deadline last year. But what if Camposano just keeps hitting the way that he hit in the spring?
I suppose that you could send Mateo and Marcano down since you have Profar. But That's rough. Let's cross that bridge when we get there. There is some, and I don't mean to make a big deal out of this because we, you know, those of us who loved Austin Hedges, and there's a couple guys on this phone that did, but we can tend to overvalue defense a little bit, but there's some rough edges there on Luis Camposano.
All right. Well, rough defensive edges.
I don't know what you meant by hitting. Because this guy got three bombs by the time Nola's ready? Well, then I don't think he's going down.
Right. I mean, it could happen in the league, especially young pitchers who haven't been figured out yet. There's no book on them. We've seen this sort of stuff before. It doesn't mean he's going to continue to do that over 162. Kevin, what is your definition of success for the Padres in 2021?
Win a playoff series.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean to shoot low, but I can't say World Series. I mean, goodness gracious. Again, we just spent all this time talking about the Dodgers. I think there's some good American League teams. This is a World Series contender, and you have to be real. When I say win a playoff series, I don't mean then go get swept by the Dodgers. If you're healthy, which they weren't last year at the end with their pitching, if you are the team that, you know, we're envisioning going forward, you don't get embarrassed in the playoffs. I mean, this organization's been to the playoffs six times now, only once in back-to-back years, and both of those years they were just blown out. They had no chance against the Cardinals. So it's time to start taking steps.
We appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you for the time as always. We're looking forward to the 2021 season. Thank you as always for previewing it with us here this afternoon.
Thank you as always. See ya.